You are now listening to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westley Jr. I'm glad you've joined us today. This program will feature inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today we're going to continue and conclude part two of a sermon that was begun in the previous broadcast. If you heard the first part of Running from the Call of God, a very interesting story about Jonah, you will want to hear the conclusion of this message and the applications that Pastor Phipps will draw for all of us who are listening. Very interesting indeed. Before we get into the message for today, however, as usual, we have some music for you. In fact, in today's program, we'll have a little extra time, so we're going to have a little extra music today. Here now is music by Wintley Phipps, a song entitled Amazing Grace.
Thousand years, bright shining.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, and we just heard music by Wintley Phipps, Amazing Grace, and that's from the CD release entitled Just As I Am and Other Favorite Hymns of Billy Graham, all sung by Wintley Phipps. We're going to get to the message now, part two of the title, Running from the Call of God. And at the end of the message, I'm going to let you know how you can obtain an audio copy of this message. This is going to be program number 321 in our series. You can take note of that now. Program 321, Running from the Call of God, part two. Here now is Pastor Phipps with today's sermon.
The book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And verse 4, But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The Lord had prepared what? Look at verse chapter 2, then Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17, the last verse of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a what? A great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. Man, I don't want to even see a fish like that for 1 minute in my face. Much less to be in the belly of that fish for how long? 3 days and 3 nights. I don't want to spend a weekend in the belly of a fish. Now, there are those people who think that the story of Jonah is just too fanciful to be true. They don't want to take the book of Jonah seriously because they find it hard to believe that a man could be swallowed by a whale and then live to tell about it. But I want you to know, I went digging and I stumbled on an account taken from the Princeton Theological Review, dated 1927, and it says that in February of 1891, a whaling ship called the Star of the East was in the Falkland Islands, and the lookout man saw a large sperm whale 3 miles away. The boats were launched. One of the harpooners was about to spear the fish when the second boat was attacked and it was turned over by the lash of the whale's tail. The men were thrown into the sea. One man drowned. The other, James Bartley, disappeared, could not be found. The whale was killed. And in a few hours, it was lying by the ship's side, and the crew was busy with the axes and spades, removing the blubber. They worked all day, some of the night. The next morning, they attached a tackle to the stomach, and it was hoisted on the deck. The sailors were startled when something inside the whale started moving. Are you with me today? 1891, they looked inside of the whale and they found the missing sailor doubled up, unconscious. He was laid out on the deck. They doused him with seawater, and for 2 weeks, he acted like a raving lunatic. You would too if you had been swallowed by a whale. For 2 weeks, he acted like he was out of his mind. At the end of the third week, he was recovered, and Mr. Bartley began to tell about it. He said that he lost his senses through fright and not from lack of air. He was honest. He remembers being thrown out of the boat into the sea. And then I'm reading what he said. He was encompassed by a great darkness. He said he felt like he was slipping along a smooth passage of some sort that seemed to move. Can you imagine moving in something that's moving? Have mercy, Lord. And he said the sensation lasted but just for a little short time. And then he realized suddenly he had more room. He felt about him and his hands came in contact with a yielding, slimy substance that every time he touched it, it would shrink back from his touch. Have mercy, Jesus. He had finally dawned on him. Mr. Bartley said it finally dawned on him that he had been swallowed by the whale. He could easily breathe, and the heat, he said, was terrible. The heat, well, you know, think about it. He said his skin was exposed to the gastric juices. He said his face and neck were bleached to a deadly whiteness, and it took on, his skin took on the appearance of parchment. And by the way, Mr. Bartley's skin never recovered its natural appearance. Now, I don't need the Princeton Review to tell me it can happen. If God's word said it can happen, it can happen. Jonah said, in my distress, I called to the Lord from the belly of the whale. He answered me from the depths of the grave. I called the Lord for help. Have mercy, Lord. Look at it there, verse chapter 3. Actually, chapter 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Lord, I'll pay what I owe. I'll do whatever you want me to. When you're in the belly of the whale, you remember the Lord. Whatever you want me to do, God. And then the Bible says, chapter 2, verse 9, Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee. Look at all that Jonah said he was going to do. Lord, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I guess that's all he had time to say. Because the Bible says the next thing, that look at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish. Aren't you glad that fish understand the voice of the Lord? The Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, I came here to tell you, church, it's a dangerous thing to run from the presence of God. Servant of the Lord says, had Jonah obeyed, he would have been spared many bitter experiences. But even in the hour of his despair, the Lord did not desert Jonah. Through trials and providences, God showed Jonah that he was mighty to save. Jonah, she says, would have known how foolish would be any effort on his part to escape. Lord, I must say, listen, let me read this again. Jonah should have known that it is foolish to try and escape the responsibility God places upon you. Before I close, look at Jonah chapter 4. First of all, let me tell you this. Chapter 3, verse 1 is one of the most wonderful words in this whole book. And the Lord spake, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the what? Talk about second chances. Amen. Jonah got a second chance. The Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, Jonah, I'm giving you one more chance. I'm telling you one more time. Sometimes that's all the Lord has to say to some of us. Amen. I'm going to give you one last chance. One more time, I'm telling you. Go to Nineveh. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee, that I tell you. And then verse 3, Jonah did what? He arose and he went to Nineveh. And you can read it when you get home. The people of Nineveh heard the word of God preached by Jonah, and they, beginning with the king, changed their ways. They turned around the whole city. And then for the sake of the scriptures, I love that chapter 4, because it tells you that poor Jonah, look at what Jonah said in chapter 1 after the people repented. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly that the people had repented, and that he was very what? Jonah was angry. And look at what Jonah said in his prayer. He said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? In other words, didn't I say, when I was yet in my country? Therefore, in other words, here's Jonah. Jonah's saying, I knew it. I knew you were going to do this to me. And that's what he said. Why? Because you are a gracious God. I knew it. You sent me to preach judgment, but I knew you were going to do this to me, because you are merciful. I knew it. You are slow to anger. I knew you were going to do this to me. You are of great kindness, and you repent of the evil things you say you're going to do. Therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life. Take my life. You embarrass me so bad. Look at what you've done to me. Oh, but the God we serve is a God of second chances. Amen. As I leave you today, I want to tell you about in the University of California in the Rose Bowl in 1929. A man by the name of Roy Reels recovered a fumble for California, and he became confused. He started running in the wrong direction. One of his teammates by the name of Benny Long ran behind him, ran him down, overtook him, tackled him just before he scored for the opposing team. California then got the ball and tried to punt. The punt was blocked, and they scored a safety. That play came in the first half of the game, when they went into the dressing room, sat down on the benches. Can you imagine how Roy Reels felt? He put his blanket around his shoulders, went over into a corner, put his face in his hands, and he cried like a baby. That day, the coach was quiet. He was trying to decide what to do. The timekeeper came in and announced that 3 minutes before the game had to resume. The players got up, and then the coach said, "The same team that played the first half will start the second half." Everybody got up and ran out on the field. Regals sat there. He didn't budge. Coach looked back. He didn't move. And then the coach went over to where he was and said, "Roy, didn't you hear what I said? The same team that played the first half will start the second half." And then Regals looked up and his cheeks were wet. "Coach," he said, "I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've ruined the university. I've ruined myself. I can't face that crowd." And the coach reached out and put his hands on his shoulders and said, "Roy, get up. Go on back. The game is only half over." Roy Regals went back and they said he played like they'd never seen a player play before. You know, when I read that story, I thought of what God does for us. He comes and he bends over and he says, "I'm giving you a second chance. The game is only half over." And who does he say that to? People like us who've been running in the wrong direction. Now, I don't know who you are, but you've been running from the call of God on your life. And today, God sent me by to speak to you and sent you by to hear this word. Give it all to Jesus. You're running in the wrong direction. Turn around. Give your life to Jesus.
Feels like forever since you've been gone. I knew you had to go. A place for your own. And though you're gone, I still don't feel alone. 'Cause the moment I whisper your name, there's a peace that I cannot explain. Hold me in your arms and dry my tears. You take away all my sadness. You heal all my pain. A light within my soul shines bright again. And a joy that I fears never the same. There's a joy that I cannot explain. Lord, I'd love to share my whole life with you.
That's music by Wendley Phipps. The song is entitled Whisper Your Name, and that's from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. That's the end of our message and end of our program for today, or close to it. I hope that you enjoyed and appreciated the message, part two of this very interesting sermon entitled Running from the Call of God. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, you can do so by calling the following phone number. That's 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And you want to ask for program number 321 to reference today's program. That's program 321. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department, and the email address is seabrookav, that's A like Apple and V like Victor, at yahoo.com. That's seabrookav@yahoo.com. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings, and I hope that you will join us again for another program. But until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.